As of this morning, we know a whole lot more about how much doctors bill Medicare.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The federal government has just released huge amounts of data on purpose. It's information about the nitty-gritty of Medicare, the government health insurance system for older or disabled Americans. Which doctors got paid how much for what Medicare procedures? Marketplace's Adrian Hill is here with a first look at this. Good morning, Adrian.
Good morning, David.
So what is the scope of this cornucopia here?
It's pretty enormous. The data shows payments to more than 800,000 doctors and healthcare professionals. It includes information for thousands of procedures. So if you want to know how much Medicare paid your doctor in 2012, you can go look it up.
And researchers are going to dine off this for years to come. But what do we know from these numbers already?
A few things stand out. Medicare paid 344 doctors and healthcare providers more than $3 million. At the very top of that list is an ophthalmologist in Florida who's probably going to get some attention today. He got paid $21 million. The New York Times crunched these numbers, and they found that a small fraction, just about 2% of doctors, accounted for nearly a quarter of the total Medicare payments.
Now, of course, some doctors have patients with tough cases that are expensive to treat. Some are going to worry that the data is being taken unfairly out of context.
Absolutely. This is a fight that's been fought for years. Many physicians groups didn't want the data out there. The idea, though, is that it could help patients and Medicare figure out which doctors are providing high quality care that's cost effective and maybe which are overtreating. All these numbers could also help us figure out what's up with the cost of healthcare in this country.
Marketplace's Adrian Hill, thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
Later today, lawmakers in Washington will meet to go over the proposed $45 billion merger between the two biggest cable companies in America, Comcast and Time Warner Cable. It's the beginning of a long and possibly winding regulatory road. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports.
Some mergers have relevance to people's lives, says antitrust attorney Alan Grunes, and this is one of them. Grunes, who works at the firm Geier Gori, says the internet will be a focal point as the combined company would have at least 40% and as much as 50% of the fastest high-speed internet service market.
There is an argument to be made that it's not healthy for economic growth for one company to have that much control over high-speed broadband access.
Grun says the deal could threaten the next Netflix or Hulu, companies that could have to pay Comcast handsomely to stream content.
The internet has proven that it is its own animal and its own ecosystem.
Nicole Turner-Lee is with the Minority Media and Telecom Council. She says low-income citizens' access to the internet is more important than the impact on startups.
I think we need to make these companies more accountable to consumers around other things as opposed to making them accountable to the future of the internet, right?
Comcast says as part of the deal, it would expand its program to provide more access to low-income communities. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
Single most popular item, solid or liquid, that we Americans consume at breakfast is coffee. But increasingly, the coffee we drink at home or at the office does not come from a carafe. It's made on a single-serve machine. The dominant U.S. player is Green Mountain's Keurig with the K-Cup pods. But a European rival, Nespresso, is trying to muscle in. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
The sound in my kitchen in the morning. By now, many Americans know it. One of those shiny countertop coffee machines that can cost a few hundred dollars and make a single cup. In the U.S., Green Mountain has roughly three-quarters of the market. Nestle's Nespresso has just 3%.
The objective was to create concentrated, strong espresso coffee as drunk in Europe.
Nespresso CEO Jean-Marc Duvoisin says that strong, small espresso isn't what many American consumers want. So the Swiss company has introduced a new machine, the Vertuo line.
Which offers, I would say, what normally is drunk in U.S., a long mug, I would say, of coffee.
An 8-ounce cup. Analyst Harry Balzer of the NPD Group says Nespresso's move to a bigger drink is smart.
geez, look at the sandwiches we have. Look at the drinks we have. We tend to prefer things bigger, feel like we're getting a good deal, a good value.
But Americans may not feel they're getting good value from Nespresso, says Jim Hertle at food and beverage consultancy Willard Bishop. It's not the price of the machines. At around $300, they're similar to the competition.
The price of the pods themselves.
You can get Keurig K-Cups online or at discount groceries for just over 30 cents a piece. Nespresso's pods cost twice that, and you have to order them from Nespresso.
It's going to start off being elite, and then it will move its way down. It may never get down to the mid-market.
I met Lisa Bobick at an upscale kitchen store in Portland, where she was trying out the new Nespresso machine.
Tastes like a real cup of coffee or real espresso, and the foaming. You just can't get that in any less expensive machine than a big proper machine that's $2,000. I'm not going to spend that kind of money.
And she did like that the free sample was big, a regular American coffee. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Now, to those of you sneering about pods or that you haven't lived until you sucked distilled water through coffee grounds via some exotic Bunsen burner vacuum system, number one, I can relate. But coffee is like your choice of photography equipment. Sometimes the best camera is the one you have with you in a pinch. Also, we have some office coffee machine etiquette tips that you can print out and post in a passive-aggressive fashion. It's at marketplace.org. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.